I believe this is the last section of analyzing the Bible. We started a series several Wednesday nights ago. And of course, we're supposed to, as a Christian, we have an instruction manual. We have a guide book. We have a how-to, all kinds of stuff in the Bible. And so it's like, you get saved, you get baptized, whoop, there's your King James, memorize it. And there's 66 books. There's, I think we said 783,000 something words, I believe it was last week. And so lots of memorization and things like that. And of course, you start reading it. And a lot of people, when you start reading a book, you start from the beginning, right? And unless you were like me, you tried to read the last chapter so you could write that book report and try to fake your teacher out. Doesn't work very good. All right. So obviously, that's not the way the Bible is. Okay. It's not in chronological order and time, and time wise and things like that. There's some different things like that. And so there's nothing wrong with it. I think you should read it from Genesis to Revelation, if you can. And I know there's people that have done it many, many times. And so forth, but a new Christian, sometimes if they start in the book of Genesis, they'll find out where they came from, and then they'll all of a sudden, oh my goodness, sin and captivity and battles and wars and things like that. And you're like, oh. All right, so maybe the book of John would be good for you, things like that. And then as you start growing and you want to, the book of Proverbs is good for wisdom and so forth. A lot of the New Testament would help you better in your, Christian growth, things like that. So maybe it's kind of like overwhelming. And so that's what we started, was like, okay, I think we talked about appreciating the Bible, how God wrote it for us, wrote and preserved it for us and kept it for us now. And we ought to appreciate that fact, because there was people that were burned at the stake for this book. There were people beheaded for this book and so forth, just so we could have a copy of it. And God did that, and we have, in my office, I don't know how many copies of it I have. And so, so I appreciate that. And so we did appreciate the Bible. Then we talked about how to approach it. I've just talked about that, man. 66 books is huge. How do we approach it? And then, of course, we saw some other things, and then we got over to analyzing the Bible and studying. And we talked about the whole book. Read it from Genesis to Revelation at least several times in your life, okay? But then we said, okay, let's bring it down a little bit. Let's just browse a book. And of course, so the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, book of Leviticus, and so forth. So you browse a book and learn that. And then we said, okay, let's bring it on down. Let's chart a chapter. Instead of browsing a whole book, let's chart a chapter. And then we said, okay, in doing that, let's probe a paragraph. And so again, we went from 66 books down to probing a paragraph. And then after that, we said we're going to visualize a verse. In other words, we're going to just read one verse, visualize what was going on there at that time, place, people, what God was trying to teach us, maybe visualize ourselves in that situation. How would we have done it different, things like that. So we talked about visualizing a verse. And last week, we talked about weighing a word. Obviously, weighing a word, back in the Bible times, you had the scales and balances, that's how you would weigh. Now we have the little things that we walk on. We have those things in the doctor's office that they slide and things like that, and we don't want to get on them. And, they offended us one time when it said, one at a time, please, when we got up on it, and things like that. But that's not about weighing a word. We're basically looking at the definitions of what it meant, how it could apply to our life, things like that. So that's where we are in our analyzing the Bible, and this is the last one we're going to look at. And again, this one is called tabulating a topic. All right, and it was hard to find a word that started with T that would fit this. Tabulating a topic, because we had browsing a book, charting a chapter, probing a paragraph, visualizing a verse, weighing a word, and now we're having tabulating a topic. And this is probably, last week we talked about how weighing a word was, very easy to do. Maybe we could just think of a word, things like that, and so forth. But this one's probably the most popular. It's probably the most used in tabulating a topic. some preachers are they're known for they're a topical preacher. In other words, they'll preach on a topic and lay it out for you, things like that. And so tabulating of topic is where we are tonight. And I'll have a couple of introductory statements that I'll read, and then we'll get into the outline. But tabulating a topic, a topical Bible study is a custom-made type of study, usually arising out of a situation or a need. So in other words, if you were going to say, I have this need, what does the Bible say about it? That's exactly what we're talking about. I talked to a fellow today that he said he'd been, and again, he told me this after the fact because you're not supposed to tell somebody before the fact, all right? But he told me he had been fasting and praying on the subject, okay? And the Bible talks about fasting and praying. And again, if I'm going to fast, it's going to be something serious, okay? Because I like food. I get hangry. I need a Snickers every once in a while. You got your breakfast, a Snickers or something to hold you over till lunch, all right? Then a Snickers or two to hold you over till supper. That's what I'm saying. I got to stay. I'm a better thinker. I get along with people better when I'm not starving. So it's got to be pretty serious. And there have been times in my life that I did fast. Why? Because if you said, okay, I need something, I'm going through a situation and I don't know how to handle it, so how do I get God's attention? I've heard about this fasting thing, all right? So in other words, a topical study in the Bible on fasting. So you could look up every verse that talks about fasting. And when you do so, and we're going to see how to do this in a minute, when you do so, you will see the information where it does say, I'm paraphrasing here, don't tell anybody that you're fasting. Okay, that's the key. It's just between you and God. You don't go in there, oh my goodness, I'm about to eat this bookshelf for this book. I'm starving. Why are you so hungry? Well, I'm fasting. You're not supposed to do that. It's between you and God. And again, in another topical point would be like, okay, why do I fast? In other words, when you get hungry, and when you're not eating, you will get hungry. And so when stomach is, hey, I need something down here. You're like, okay, I'm going to go pray. Okay, in other words, it got my attention. Okay, God, I'm this is between me and you. I haven't told anybody. And this situation that I'm going through, this need that I have, I really need some help here. And so, in other words, you forget about your hunger. And you're talking about that situation to the only person that actually can help you with that situation. Okay, so that's what a topical study will bring about. It talks about facial expressions. There's verses in there. Like if you're fasting, don't tell this about it. Okay, because a lot of people can read this. If your jaw is clenched and your little eyes are beaded up and they're looking at your face like, dude, you mad? No, why? I don't know, I was just wondering. Your face looked like you were mad, okay? Things like that. So same thing. When we're fasting, we don't... I'm thin in the skin. I think I'm about to pass out. No, we're supposed to be... It says in the Bible, to put a smile on your face. In other words, don't tell, don't show. And so again, for me not to show, I'm going to have to go pray while I'm hungry. But that's what we see. So anyway, fasting and praying, maybe seeking God's will... this is, there's verses in the Bible about doing God's will instead of your own will. So, in other words, if there's a situation in your life or a need in your life, it will prompt a topical study on those things. Like, what's God's will in this matter? Again, I'll tell you, when I was going to get married, I fasted. because I'd heard all of my life, oh, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Well, I didn't want just a fish. I wanted God's will. If I was going to be in the ministry, I wanted to help meet. And so there was things like that prompted fasting and prayer. And obviously, where I went to Bible college and where I was going to work, things like that. Very serious times in my life that I did fast. So I'll tell you that after the fact. So topical Bible study is a custom-made type of study, usually arising out of a situation or a need. And I think I've talked about that enough. Now, next statement is this. Topical study goes one step further than what word study, which we saw last week, weighing a word. So you might look up in words, on your Bible app and things like that. And so we saw a topical study goes one step further than word study, whereas a word study stays within the boundaries of analyzing the meaning of a particular word. So in other words, if we did word study last week, and I believe we did, we kind of did a practice with access. There's three times in the Bible where it says access. And we have access to the throne room. Through our relationship with Christ, we can bring our prayer requests right there. There were access. And we saw in that study that we could have that access with boldness. And so I believe there was like 19 times the word boldness was in the Bible where we can have boldness. Not like, you know, pointing our finger at God and say, "You will answer this prayer." I wouldn't recommend that. But anyway, we came boldness because of our position, because we are a child of God. And a child of God can, a child can go to his parents and say, "I really need this," and so forth. And so we have that because of our position. So anyway, we saw word study last night, but topical study moves freely about a general subject, even studying synonyms and antonyms, maybe even other verses that might shed light or imply that truth. In other words, that word's not in that verse, but the truth is in that verse. And so we're looking at topical study. We can go a little further than that. We have some helps in doing so. And my favorite help these days, when I first started studying the Bible, I didn't have one of these. All right. And I did not have my KJV Bible app. Boom. Okay. Oh my goodness. It saves hours of looking through a Strong's Concordance and looking up verses. They're just like, and he's like, "Where is that verse? I can only remember a little phrase of that verse." Boom. It finds it for you. So big time help. All right. But I do have a KJV Bible app. So it's KJV only and things like that. So in doing a topical study, you can use your Bible app. You can use a concordance. It would be probably a little bit more limited than your Bible app because it just does words. But it would still help you if you knew the words. It used to be, I think, Thomas Nelson, but now I think it's just Thomas Chain Reference Bible. Or you have a Ryrie Study Bible. Some of these Bibles have a lot of these topics already in the Bible. It makes it a little thicker and so forth. So that might be another avenue. Then there's books these days on specific topics. Now, I would tell you to be careful. Don't just randomly pick a book or look it up on online, things like that. At least know something about the author. At least know something maybe about their doctrinal issues or their beliefs. Don't just go grab a random book and so forth. There's people, you know, again, I know, you know, you go to the doctor's office and you start reading. WebMD, little magazines. "I'm dying!" Like, we're all dying, okay? Again, God's still in control and so forth. I think you ought to take medicine. I'm not one of those, you know, just bite on a stick and you'll live, rub some dirt on it. Nothing wrong with going to the doctor and things like that, but be careful what you read. Same thing, and I've heard people, they try to excuse that away, and they'll say stuff like this: "Just eat the meat and spit out the bones." Okay, so in other words, you can read any author out there. You can read any denomination out there. You can read, "Just eat the meat and spit out the bones." But I have heard people choking on bones. Okay, all right, they tell you don't give your dog chicken bones. Well, spit them out, Fluffy. All right, no, they're just going. Ah. So you got to be careful. And then, you know, I've heard this example. You know, homeless people, they just have to dig through the dumpster till they find something edible. You know, I would not prefer to do that. So same thing with reading something on a topic. Don't just go down to, you know, Christian bookstore or look online, ask about it or do some research, things like that. Why? Because the Bible talks about it. That there's these people that will creep in unawares and they'll bring false doctrine. I've seen people in a church like this that go soul winning and passes out tracts and tries to get people saved, and lo and behold, somebody will ease their way in, start talking about tulips, and start talking about, you know, there's God created some for heaven and some for hell. No, it's not His will that any should perish. Same thing with reading a topical book. You could just be reading along and have some false teaching come into your brain. So you got to guard that. So, but again, this is helping with topics. So we're made it to the outline. Number one, we have procedures of topical Bible study. How-tos, procedures of topical Bible study. Number one, or A underneath Romans 1, is this. Step one is to build a list of Bible verses that will contribute on that subject. Okay, so last week we saw weighing a word, and we looked up word, finding that word in the Bible. We talked about access three times, boldness, I believe, in the teens, and so forth. But this is a topic. So you might can type in your Bible app or things like that, or look in your Strong's Concordance if there is a word that describes that topic. But if it goes on beyond that, so we're just basically building a verse, a list of verses that might or might not contribute to that topic. So don't take time to read them at first. Just make a list. And something that might contribute to that. So at this point, we're not concerned about reading them. We've looked at our Bible apps. On my Bible app, there's a search button. There's actually reading plans that I can look through. There's what we call touch points. So I could type in the touch points and it would help me. There's browse plans. That Bible app is amazing. It's a great help. Here's another one, Google. But if I'm going to Google, I say King James Bible before I ask it what to look for. Okay. Now, I haven't gone this far, but there's people out there that use the AI and say, tell me about this topic. I mean, it just starts coming. I'm still a little nervous about that. I haven't proven that, but I have proven Google. I can put on there. And of course, Google, then it says, but in this version it's this. I just stop right there. But anyway, you can use Google. And then there's thoughts. And I wonder what the Bible has to say about this. So we're building verses, a list of verses that might talk about this topic. Second, so build verses. Second thing we do, we're going to read all the verses. And when we're doing that, we're basically going to have written them out and left a little bit of space. If you're a typer, do that on your Word or your Excel or whatever you're going to do it on, and things like that. If you're a writer like me, just write it out. And then as you read that verse, obviously write down some things about it. Make a list of the references and jot down the main truth of that verse, and then maybe a brief notation out there explaining that verse. And then as you do that, then obviously you can put all those together. So the third thing after you've made the list, then you've read the list and made your notations, and then thirdly, you organize the individual facts under the topical heading. So this is where you make your outline for your study, things like that. So as I go through there, I said, okay, this verse and this verse kind of say the same thing. So I'm going to put them over here, and this verse alludes to this, so I'm going to put it over here. So I'm kind of organizing the facts, the individual facts, under that topical heading. Maybe I'm correlating these verses and the notes that I have where they're similar teachings and things like that. So then once I've made the list, I've read them all and made my notations, and I've kind of organized them. Then from that organization, I put my main outline there with the heading of the topic that I was on, and then the main points, and then maybe what we would say those building or uplifting those points or giving that point some substance and things like that. So we see the first of all was the procedure of the topical study. And now this, number two, types of topical studies. Types of topical studies. And there's only 2 points underneath this, and we'll get into them in just a second. But one is a broad topical study, and then there's an explicit topical study. So when you're doing these studies for the Bible, obviously a broad, we'll give you some examples of them here. The broad topical study is this. All right, we would look in, these are examples of there, we would look in the characters in the Bible. The characters. So there's a lot of characters in there. Of course, we would say, okay, name some characters. You would say, okay, Adam and Eve. You start down there. Moses, Noah, Daniel, all these famous ones, ones that we know. And so if you were doing a broad character, you would have all these characters and some things about them. Obviously, explicit would be just that individual. So characters in the Bible. We have study on men of the Bible. I've seen books about that. I believe our ladies have done a lady, I think we gave it last year for Mother's Day, Women of the Bible book or something like that. and so forth. But there's over 3,000 different men and women listed in the Bible. And so that would be a broad topic if we were doing all men, all women, and things like that. Then there's kings in the Bible. If you did a study on the kings, obviously you would probably see two things about them. They did that which was right in their own eyes, and there was a bunch of mess going on. And they did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and there was blessings. And so you could see the topics there in the kings. Then we have the disciples. We could do them all. Or we can do an explicit one disciple. There's martyrs in the Bible that died for the cause, that died in wars and things like that. There were martyrs in the Bible. And then we have groups of people. We have the Hebrews or the Jews. Then we have the Greeks and the Gentiles. We have the Romans and other people like that. So this would be an example of a broad topical study. And then here's not only people, but we have crisis in the Bible. We face crisis in our day and time, but there were crises in the Bible. So let's look topically, or a broad look at crisis in the Bible and what they had, and how they dealt with it. The first one that comes to my mind, there was a lot of famine in the land. And of course, some famine caused people to get out of God's will and go look for other things. If you think about Mahlon and Chilion and Elimelech and all that kind of stuff. There were some that, you brought us out here, we're just going to die. Moses, what's wrong with you? I wish we'd be back over there eating leeks and garlics and things like that. So famine, you could look at famine and so forth, the lack of food. Then there were times of bondage and times of freedom. And there's that topic there, captivity. Then there were diseases. Leprosy was probably the most famous one of the Bible, and so forth. What took place and why it was the disease was there and why God put it on them, and obviously how God healed them and things like that. So we have broad topics of all these characters, these crises. Thirdly, we have broad topics of doctrine. The doctrines of God, the doctrines of the Bible, this would be collectively how important they are and things like that. Then there's a bunch of prayers in the Bible. You have the Lord's Prayer. You have Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, there's prayers all through the Bible that you could do a broad topic on the prayers of the Bible. Then another one would be conversions of the Bible. Obviously, you've got Paul, or that was Saul, on the road to Damascus. And you have other conversions in the Bible. Zacchaeus, he was a wee little man, and he got saved. And then there was the jailer that got saved. We got conversions throughout the Bible that we could do topical study on. Then there's actually sermons in the Bible. And obviously, we preach sermons. That's what a preacher does. But there's actually written and typed out sermons in the Bible. We could look at sermons. Calls, Samuel, Samuel. And he ran in there to Eli. Sir, what are you doing up? Well, you called me. No, I didn't. Go get back to bed. Samuel, Samuel. Sir, why are you back? You called me. No, I didn't. And he said, oh, wait a minute. I think maybe God's trying to call you. And of course, we have Samuel, and then we have other people getting called by God. And so we have topical calls. Then there's actually revivals in the Bible. Revivals and so forth. So that would be examples of broad topical studies in the Bible. Next, we have the explicit ones. I'll give you a couple examples of them, and then we'll head on. Explicit ones would be names of God. There's explicit names of God that you could study, and they're awesome. Again, to know what God is and what He can do, they're found in His names. Another one would be parables. Jesus, He used parables. Now, we don't say the word parables. We might say illustration or example of. And so He used parables in the Bible. We have Jesus' sermons. So that would be explicit just to Him. We have Peter's sermons. We have Paul's sermons. So just like we have abroad a bunch of sermons, we can bring them down to just Jesus' or just Peter's or just Paul's. Then we have Paul's missionary journey. How he made some tents when he needed to make some money. He lived in people's houses on the backside of his house, and how God provided for him. Churches took him on for support. We can have studies about Paul and his missionary journeys. Then there's tons of places in the Bible. Matthew 5, I believe, is the main one. It's called the Beatitudes or the Blesseds. Blessed is this person, because this will happen. Blessed is this. So all the places. I want blessings. All of us, I don't want anything for my birthday. Well, you probably do. I don't want anything for Christmas. Just, you know, there's people like that. But most people, they want it. They want to get something. And the phone and all this stuff today, you know, used to you'd get a Christmas list. Now you just get a Christmas email or an Amazon wish list thing and just scroll through it. You want all of this? Well, just pick something off of it, Grandpa and or Pawpaw. And okay. Now, I'm trying to catch up. I just hand it to my wife and let her do it. But everybody likes blessings. Everybody likes to get stuff. So there's places in the Bible that says, if you'll do this, God will bless you. If you'll do this, God will bless you. So let's find out. And then there's verses that say, such and such is far better. Far better. These would be explicit things. The Bible says this would be far better. It's kind of like God so loved the world. Or how shall we neglect so great a salvation? So this is far better. There's places in the Bible that say, I check these people out. I've been watching them and they're 10 times better. Okay? Now we ought not think of ourselves better and think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, but the Bible says that we can live in a way that's better, far better. So these would be good studies. There's places in the Bible that say 40 days. Obviously, the first one that comes to my mind is the raining for 40 days and 40 nights. But there's other places in the Bible. That would be an explicit study to see what God... I mean, Jesus fasted for 40 days. Whew! I mean, I don't know if I could make it 40 minutes, 4 days. Goodness gracious. So there was 40 times. That's an explicit one. So all the biblical truth is clothed in a garment of facts, including the experiences of the people. So I'm going to read that again. So when you're doing an explicit study on a topic, we see here that all biblical truth, whether it be people, crisis, facts, things like that, all these things are clothed with a garment of facts, including experiences of the people. So in other words, if you looked at Job, he went through a ton of experiences. But what did he do? Right? The Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not. Okay? And he said, his famous statement, blessed be the name of the Lord. He giveth, he taketh away, blessed be the name. Okay, so he handled it right. So that was all clothed. If I was doing a topical study on Job's life, man, he lost all this and lost all this, lost all this. But he behaved himself correctly, pleased God in all that he did. And all of a sudden, the Bible says he got double. All right, he lost 10 kids, but he got 10 more. All right, and he had this many camels, but now he's got this plus two. And so we can look at it. It's all clothed in these experiences and when we're doing these topical studies. So as we study, we are onlookers. Okay? There's something about that. We're built that way. Some of you like to just go sit out in public and just sit there. You're a people watcher. All right? But then some of us, we start saying stuff. That one could. Did she not have a mirror in the house before she left? All right. Well, man, he needs to cover up. That's just too much, So we start putting our little comments out there, but maybe we should not do that. But we're all people watchers, and so we watch, and so that's what God knew that, and so He collected a whole bunch of stuff in this book, and He says, look, when you're reading it, be a people watcher. What did Job do? What did Joseph do? What did Paul do? And just watch. Look. And that's what when we're doing that. And then it says here, we're also fact gatherers. We can see two people over having a discussion, and we'll have a discussion with ourselves of what they're discussing. And we can't even hear them. But I can just tell by the look on their face, she's mad at him. He's done something stupid. I mean, he's sleeping on the couch tonight. I can tell you that right now. And then they get up and hug and kiss, and we're like, I was wrong. So we see that we're supposed to be people watchers in the book. And what we're doing, we're trying to gather some facts. All right, gather some facts. And then what we do, we apply the principles. So when we're doing a topical study, we're looking at the people, looking at what they went through, looking how they handled it. We're gathering those facts. And it's okay, how do I apply it? And it's funny. It's not really funny. It's just awesome that God will do this. all of a sudden, you know, you're reading, you're in your topical studying, you're looking at this person, and you'll see something, and you're like, wow, they handle it like this. And look out, because probably within 2 or 3 days, something exactly like that's going to happen to you, and God's going to give you the opportunity to apply the principle. Okay? And when we're reading about somebody, well, they just lied. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. I mean, they just flat out lied. And all of a sudden, we get asked something at work. Hey, now there's our choice. Do we lie or do we make, you know, tell the truth? Hey, well, I remember, you know, so-and-so in the Bible, they lied and this is what happened, so I'm going to tell the truth. And obviously, our parents told us to tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth, so hopefully we're just programmed that way. That was just an example of what we're doing. We're people watchers, we're fact gatherers, and then we're principle appliers, and then we are put it into practice. In other words, if God shows you something like that, just make it a part of you, just like it was a part of them in the Bible. So whenever we study the life of a person in the Bible, we should define their name, and then there's surnames in the Bible, maybe nicknames, and if you look up biblical names back in the day, and there's lots of verses that say so-and-so, and they'll call their name, and then it'll tell you right there in that verse what that name meant. Okay, and a lot of people in the Bible, they were going to name their kid a certain name. Why? Because they wanted their kid to live up to that name. Okay, and that's what they wanted. We don't do that these days. We just name our kid after a relative or a name that we just made up. There's a lot of people out there, say that one more time, never heard that name before. All right, yeah, and they twist it all around backwards and upside down and all that kind of stuff. They're just weird. All right, but the Bible says, even a child is known by his doings. So if you can pronounce that person's name and somebody hears that person's name, something goes in here. So we do have a testimony. So you can look at their names and things like that. You can look at their ancestry or their genealogy, especially in the Old Testament, and where they came from. You can look at their training and the environment that was going on in their time, their day and time in the Bible. You can look at their desirable and their undesirable traits. Okay, Samson had some desirable traits if you're a dude. All right? I don't know many dudes that don't want to be strong. Okay? And don't, you know, walk by the mirror and all right? That's just in a dude. Okay? All right? So that was a desirable trait. He was strong. But he was also, he had a problem with the ladies. Okay? And Delilah wasn't number one. Okay, he done goofed up several times before her. And so he had some bad traits that, hey, dude, you know, chillax. You know, find God's will. You know, you pitch a fit to your parents. I want her. Well, she's not saved, bud. She's not, you know, she's not our kind. I don't care. I want her. And again, I'm paraphrasing, but he had some undesirable traits too. So then we can find that. We see friendships that they might have had in the Bible. We can look at their conversion if it's in the Bible. We can see who influenced them and who they influenced. Okay, if you look at Timothy, he was influenced by his mom and his grandma. And Paul pointed that out and said, you know, Timothy, you're a sharp young man. But I see where it came from. Mama and grandmama. Okay, because mama would have held you down and grandmama would have spanked your bottom if you needed it. And we can see that it came about. And so we see who influenced him. And then obviously Paul, he got saved on the road to Damascus. And Jesus influenced him. So then now Paul was influencing Timothy and so forth. So you can look and you do these topical studies. You can see who influenced and who they influenced. Also, you can see their spiritual growth. Again, Paul and was Saul and then he became Paul. So in other words, he was not born Paul. He wasn't the great apostle Paul the first day of his life. It was a growth and so forth. And all these people were like that. Joseph grew when he was little. He got cast into the pit and sold. But he grew. Then he got lied about. But then he made it through that and he grew again. And he saved his whole family. So you can see spiritual growth in these topical studies. Then what they accomplished. What the Bible and God's evaluation of that person. A lot of times when you read these stories about these people, you'll see their goods and their bads, but then at the end of their life, sometimes there will be something said about them. The Bible will do that. God will do that. And like Job. And Job did all this, yet without sin. So we see sometimes the Bible and God would even evaluate that person. We can see how long they lived. We can see lessons that they learned and from their life, and we can apply them to our life. So we will be surprised as we study throughout the Bible that are even, we think about, okay, all those people were old Bible people way back, and how does it apply? But I mean, if you study this book, you'll see stuff that's relevant today. It's kind of like, I like to listen to Lester Roloff. He preached way back in the day. He preached against everything. But you could take and plug in his sermon today, and it would fit. All right? I mean, it would. The application would be there, and so forth. So same thing with Jesus. If Jesus was here today, he wouldn't know what a cell phone, I guess he created, I don't know, but anyway, he would know what's going on. He would be relevant. There's topical studies in the Bible about space. Hey, that's relevant today. There's verses in the Bible that talks about psychology. Okay, that's relevant today. I mean, if you even look at somebody wrong today, you need to go see one, right? And so forth. But anyway, there's psychology in the Bible. There's teaching methods in the Bible. Teaching methods in the Bible. I used one Sunday. Solomon said, "Hey, give me that baby. What you gonna do with it? I'm gonna chop it in half." What? Well, y'all, both of y'all are saying it's yours, so I'm just gonna give you half. Give you half. All right. Whoa! She can have it. You're the mom. All right. Teaching methods and so forth. I don't know if you are. Chop something in half in your teaching methods, but he taught them something. There's riots and wars in the Bible. There's riots and wars in our day and time. There's authority and law. There's even taxes in the Bible. None of us like to pay them, but we like it when the police officer helps, or when the EMT comes and picks us up. We like the firemen to come and put out our fire. And we like the military to keep us safe. So I don't have a problem with it. I wish they wouldn't take so much, maybe. But anyway, there's trends in the Bible. There's abominations in the Bible. There's abominations today. So we see here topical study. Everything and everyone recorded in this book will contribute some way to the grand theme of God's offer salvation to mankind. Or to mankind. So as we're topical studying, that's what it's pushing it to. This is God's love letter to us, saying that I know you're a sinner. I know that there's a place that sinners will spend eternity in, a place called hell. I don't want that to happen. I'm going to send Jesus, be born of a virgin, live 33 and a half years of a perfect life, die on the cross, be put in the grave, raise again to pay for your sins. And all this stuff in here will push towards that. All these topics. So it will contribute in some way to that grand scheme. So the devil would love for us to grab something and say this. When we're starting a topical study, the devil would say, he would love for us to say, "I don't believe that one." So we're studying a topic and we're like, "I don't believe it." That's what the devil wants you to do. And then we might have somebody that does a topical study and say, "Not only do I don't believe it, I don't agree with it." And then we'd have some more study, and "I don't believe it," or "I don't agree with it," or "I don't understand it." So in studying the Bible, you got to be careful because some of this stuff will pop up. So what we have to do is not do this. A lot of times a person will, maybe they don't believe it. I just can't wrap my brain around that. And that's why we got to live by faith. My flesh, my mind can't believe that, but I'm trying to live by faith. I don't agree with that. There's a lot of things in the book, where people died. I don't understand why, and things like that. I just don't understand it. But I'm not going to take this book and throw it out. And I think they say throw the baby out with the bathwater, because in study, just like in school, some of you did not grasp I guess all those English rules. I before E, except after C, you know, all those things. All right. Or maybe you didn't grasp geometry. Okay. But, you know, you can't throw it out. You still have to go to school. So in studying the Bible, you're going to come across some things. But when that ever happens to me, I remember that one verse. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I mean, God cannot lie, the Bible says. So if I come across anything in there I just can't believe, I'm just going to believe it by faith because God can't lie. And I believe the Bible says, I don't believe, I know it says, that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And he's like, God, I can't believe that, but I know you wouldn't have put it in here. So help me, teach me. Same thing, I just don't agree with that. But I'm going to just leave that in God's hands. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. Okay? But I'm not going to throw it out. Throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not going to quit religion. I'm not going to quit God. Again, that's what the devil will try to do. He will try to confuse you. Even when you're trying to do a good thing. Because the Bible says when you would do good, evil presence is with you. So even when you're sitting down trying to read the Bible, which is a good thing, the devil's going to pop in your mind. He's going to throw doubt on stuff. And so I'm trying to study. I'm trying to learn. He's not going to leave you alone. So what we have to do is say, Lord, I'm just going to put it all in your hands. If I can't figure it out, I just know I can't figure it out. But you've got it figured out. God is God, and He cannot lie, and He knows all, sees all, and will teach you all. So, in topical study, we saw that real quickly. We'll go through them again. Browse a book. I believe it was chart a chapter, probe a paragraph, visualize a verse, weigh a word, and then tonight we talk tabulating a topic. And so, next Wednesday, we're going to, I think it's the last sermon in the series, we'll see, but this will be how to apply. We saw when we first started appreciating the Bible, approaching the Bible, analyzing the Bible, and then next Wednesday night we'll talk about how to apply the Bible. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, I just ask you to be with us. Lord, help us, Lord, all to do our best to study the Word of God. I know preachers obviously are commanded to study to show ourselves approved so we can rightly divide it. But I believe parents are told to train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart. So we need to know it if we're going to train. And Lord, there's all kinds of things where it says the Christian ought to be Christ-like. And so if we're going to have to be Christ-like, we're going to know how you lived. And so there's lots of verses, commands in the Bible that push us towards Bible study. But Lord, help us to realize, Lord, we don't just study it, but apply it. And Lord, when we do that, then God, you will bless our life down here on earth. And we'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we get there. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.